I've realized that I kind of compartmentalized mission and my own personal discipleship as kind of two different things. It's kind of this, there's this kind of auxiliary thing that we do. Well, you know, I'm in discipleship with Jesus in my community. I guess we should tag on some mission onto that. But in this kind of journey, realizing that as you step into mission, you find yourself in like the apex of your discipleship. Everything comes to the surface. Where you're at with the gospel and how it's working itself out in your life, you get confronted with all those things. And so it's been a really interesting road so far. It's been fun. One thing we see in that scripture in 10, and for those of us who are able to go through chapter 3 and 4 in the book, something that really stood out to me was the idea of what we find our identity in. As those who are in Christ, we find our identity in Christ. And so the first chapter, chapter 3 in the book, the time barrier, it's called, it's the idea that we load our schedules with so much stuff that we may or may not be making time for, or the question is, are we making time? Are we leaving time for the things that Christ prioritizes? The idea of being discipled and making disciples. We see this theme in the story of Mary and Martha of how God values the main thing being kept the main thing. There are really good things that we can do that we can overload ourselves with for various reasons that take away our opportunity to stay in that place of keeping the main thing. And I love that language. There's some really good kind of anecdotal stories in the book. If you haven't gotten through that, I'd encourage you to do that. But so one thing that, in terms of identity in Christ, one thing that was kind of highlighted to me and kind of got me thinking about that stuff is what are the areas that we're filling our lives with? What are the things we're filling our lives with that we're putting in place so that we can help contribute to our identity? So there are really, really good things that we do, but what are the things that we do to be known as something? So what do I do to be publicly known as a good spouse, a good parent, a good friend, a good employee? What are the things that I put in my life so that I can be known by something? A good Christian, you know? And so all of these things are good things. Those are all areas in which I hope to further grow and further invest and be better at. But am I doing things to contribute to those things, to people's perception of me in those ways? And so, as an example, you know, if I'm a parent and it's like, well, I want to make sure that I'm seen as like a super dad. So I'm going to take my kids camping every single weekend, and I'm going to do this activity and that activity so I can demonstrate my identity, the identity that I'm building for myself as a good father. So that was something just on a heart level that's like, as we are pursuing spreading the gospel in our communities, that hits pretty close to home. For me, anyways. The other thing that, moving on to chapter 4, Fear Factor was the title of the chapter, which I just love. And I love how these guys are just hitting the kind of some of the main issues that we come up against, and they just face them head on. And just praying through this this chapter and just some of the ideas in it, one thing that really came up for me was just the idea that the gospel really breaks down this us and them idea. So we can be meeting here and we can call this our community, which it is. But we go back to our homes and then we think, okay, well, I have my community. This is kind of, that's my us. And those are my them. You know, and you can create these boundaries. And as we continue in our own personal discipleship to discover how the gospel's working itself out in us in deeper and deeper ways. You know, as we who are in Christ continue to grow in him, we become increasingly aware of our need for the gospel in our own lives. It's kind of our discipleship. We also become increasingly aware of the need of that our neighbors have for that same gospel. And so we realize that we have more and more in common with them as we go, as we grow in our own discipleship. And I love that. It kind of ties back to when Todd was here, he was sharing a little bit about how Christ puts such a priority on go and make disciples. And he talked about how there's all the resources in heaven for that. And we kind of think like, oh, we can pull on heaven for all these different things in our life, which is great. And Jesus is there to help us on our journey. But that's really something that Christ prioritized in the Great Commission, the Great Commandment. Being discipled and discipling. And as we do this, we start to see the apprehension that we can have towards our neighbors who maybe we don't know. Maybe there's some, you know, there's some quirky people, or maybe there's some quirky lifestyles or personal choices that are being made in our neighborhoods. Some loud music and rowdy parties or whatever. We start to see that our neighbors are not as scary as much as they are just broken and hungry. And so when we have that gospel idea kind of at the forefront of our mind as we are journeying ourselves through the gospel and finding new areas of our own heart that are in need of that, we start to see that in other people. We start to see that, oh, that person who is chronically partying and chronically maybe addicted to who knows what, whatever, they're just super broken. They just have what I am enjoying and I am pursuing in my own personal life.